This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Here is your national security vocab word for the day, back channel. A back channel usually refers to a secret line of communication between nations. Presidential administrations use it to have discreet conversations with other world leaders. Back channels are in the headlines right now because of the unusual way they may have been used by the Trump administration. Let's make sense of all this with our friend David Sanger, national security correspondent for the New York Times. David, welcome back.
Great to be back with you.
So is that the right definition of back channel? What is a back channel?
Well, a back channel is, in fact, a secret channel. And when you go back and look at our initial coverage of the conversations involving Jared Kushner, Michael Flynn, all that, secret channel is really what fits this situation a little bit better. But yes, it's a non-public, non-obvious set of communications.
Can you give me an example of how a back channel works? Is it just a phone line?
Yeah, it's a set of communications that you communicate in some way where you don't think you're going to be found. So let me give you an example from the middle of a presidency. President Obama determined halfway through his presidency that he needed to figure out a new way to go communicate with the Iranians. There had just been an election in Iran, which had elected a reformist government led by President Rouhani, who had not yet taken office. He sent two senior officials who could travel somewhat inconspicuously. They weren't so senior that it would be obvious, to go meet up with the Iranians in various corners of the Middle East and begin to have a discussion about whether there could be a discussion. And they sort of worked out what would become the framework for the Iran negotiations that ultimately then moved off into the public. So that's the case. In the case that we're looking at now, the main distinction to keep in your mind is a back channel created by a president, which every president has pretty much done, and a back channel created by a transition, in other words, an incoming president or somebody running for president, which runs the possibility that they could be discussing a policy contrary to what the sitting president is discussing.
This was part of the conversation in the run-up to the Trump inauguration after he was elected. Some of the actions that the president-elect at the time was taking that had a very strong kind of I'm in office feel that perhaps were stepping on the toes of the Obama administration.
So that was just the public stuff, right? And so now some of the big conversation that we're having is what was the content of the discussions that Jared Kushner had with Ambassador Kislyak, that he had with a Russian banker.
Sergei Kislyak, the Russian ambassador to the U.S.
That's right. Russian ambassador to the U.S., who's just now leaving his post in coming weeks. With a Russian banker who Mr. Kislyak may have suggested, depending on what turns out, be the way to be a channel back to Putin, although you'd think the Russian ambassador himself could arrange that. So the questions there were, if these were just get-to-know-you meetings, that's fine. Every transition does that. People come in, they say, we want to have a good relationship with you. You sit down, you have a cup of coffee, say, great to know you. Can't really do any business till we take office, but we're looking forward to a terrific relationship with you. Everyone does that. On the other hand, if the discussions, and this is the big if, was, hey, listen, don't worry about those new sanctions that President Obama is getting ready to go put on because did put on at the end of December because of interference in the election. We'll undo that once we get in office. That would be a very problematic and perhaps illegal kind of conversation. So it's all on the content, not really on the channel.
We're speaking to national security correspondent David Sanger of the New York Times about back channels and how they might have affected the Trump administration and the Trump transition. We're only discussing this for a few minutes before we move on to the fun stuff. So if you have any questions, we'll try to get them answered ASAP. Email 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Are back channels considered monitored in any way? Do we assume that somebody is spying on even the back channels, or do these tend to be even more secure lines of communication?
Well, if you're in the official world, okay, where the president has asked his CIA director or his director of national intelligence or even the secretary of state to go off and have a secret set of communications, then they're usually taking place through the usual communications channels and some personal visits. So Henry Kissinger was sent off to do secret negotiations with the Chinese that opened up the way to the Nixon visit to China. In fact, he did some of the early communications in secret with the Chinese at a restaurant across the street from your studio here.
No okay? way.
Yeah, so you're sitting right near a back channel location.
Seriously?
Right across Wisconsin Avenue, across Connecticut Avenue.
Wow.
Okay, it's the restaurant unfortunately closed a few years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, it's now a Rite Aid or something.
So I just want to be clear. So when we think about a back channel, it's not necessarily, it's a term that doesn't necessarily mean like a telecommunications
right.
channel. It's just whatever way two countries choose to have
to
quiet conversation.
This. Now, in the Kushner case, there is a suggestion that he was looking, or someone was looking, maybe the Russians were looking, for a discussion that would take place through a secure communications channel run by Russia. Now, if that's the case, obviously it's not secure from the Russians, but it might be secure from, say, the National Security Agency. So then the question is, who are you hiding the discussion from? Were they attempting to hide it from the Obama administration and the intelligence community or others? If they were trying to hide it from the Obama administration, I think that even at this early stage in the investigation, we can say they did a pretty crummy job.
And that kind of speaks to the concern that a number of our listeners have been sharing. Larry tweeted us, it's not back channel that's the problem, it's the idea that it was to avoid U.S. intelligence that's the problem. Che added, it's not so much that there's a back channel as much as that they wanted to cut out the U.S. government.
That's right. And this is the issue with the transition. So you know the old expression, we have one president at a time. I heard it being repeated the other day by James Clapper, the former director of national intelligence. That's why the expression came up. You have one president at a time, so there is one voice speaking for the U.S. government. And of course, lots of foreign governments that might not like the sitting government but might be more amenable to the transition government would much rather start up that conversation early on with the transition. And that's why it's fraught, because it can create a conflict about what is current and future U.S. policy.
Has Jared Kushner addressed any of these claims?
Not in public.
So he hasn't said anything publicly yet.
No. Now, he has said that he's willing to go off and explain these to the congressional committees. And I don't know whether he's planning to do that in a public forum or in a classified forum.
That would be like House and Senate Intelligence Committees?
House and Senate Intelligence. Judiciary is also looking at this and so forth. And then, of course, Robert Mueller, who's the special counsel, is also looking at these same communications as part of his investigation.
By the way, we did a program recently, since you mentioned Robert Mueller, explaining the whole special counsel thing and who he is and what he does. You'll find that program on our website, the1a.org. That's the word the number one. The letter A.org. Also recently, there were reports that President Trump had offered up his personal cell phone number to take calls from world leaders. I believe that broke yesterday evening. Is that normal?
Well, first of all, I don't know that it's necessarily the case. I read the same report on the AP that you did. It may be perfectly good reporting. I could imagine a situation in which somebody offers up their cell phone. It's a question of what the cell phone is. If it is a cell phone controlled by the White House Communications Agency, so they're sure that it's a secure line and so forth. That's one thing. If it's a cell phone he uses to tweet from, that's another thing.
And one last thing before we let you go. It seems like, do you get any sense that the president is taking more steps to improve the security of his communications overall, or does it still feel lax? There was that thing in Mar-a-Lago where they had a conversation behind a screen that everybody could basically see in the middle of a ballroom.
Yeah, probably not the best place to go evaluate your response to a North Korean missile launch, which is what was going on at that time. That was with the Japanese prime minister. One of the big concerns that security people have is the phone he uses to tweet, because that phone is, by definition, connected up to the internet. Last night, he seemed to have some incident in which he started a tweet, ended with a strange word, and I don't know, maybe fell asleep.
Hit send too fast,
or maybe forgot about it and joked about it this morning. Probably not all that important. But the existence of that phone in rooms where he might be having conversations is probably of deep concern to security types.
That's David Sanger, national security correspondent for The New York Times. David, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.